child, sleepyhead.
I'm not letting you go to work today.
Wait, what?
Everybody, listen up.
Welcome to The Drive.
Morning, morning, morning.
You're going to talk.
Get on the phone at 339-1140.
Pretty awesome, huh?
Jump in on our text line at 44-1140.
Everyone is talking about it. You must know that.
The Drive starts now.
Sam Amick of The Athletic joining us next. The man who got Jimmy Butler traded. I want to remind everybody that you can help those affected by the campfire by clicking on the Salvation Army logo at khtk.com. There you'll see a list of items and ways to donate. This Monday, Studio Movie Grill is offering 10% of all proceeds from all ticket and food purchases to American Red Cross wildfire relief efforts. Visit khtk.com to see how to help. Sam Amick is going to be brought to you by, as are all of our guests, and your calls are on the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings. Just wing it. This Kevin Durant, Draymond Green thing is very fascinating. Because at first it just looked like a regular regular shouting match between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. We've seen it before. But then reports started to come out that it escalated a little bit further than maybe we've seen before. And Sam, that's where I want to start with you today, as Sam Amick of The Athletic joins us. Is this Kevin Durant, Draymond Green beef something larger than we've seen before? Or is this just the first time their shouting match has gotten out?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me, as always. To me, it's definitely larger. Sure, maybe there were things said behind closed doors. But this is a combination of factors that I think led to it. You know, for one, what's kind of wild about the whole thing is, you know, Steph Curry being out that night, I think, is definitely a major factor. If he's on the floor, not only do they probably win that game, but even if they don't, you know, he just has a calming presence and kind of the way he works in their locker room and on the floor seems to calm things down. But Steph's out, and so the argument happens. And, the part where it went to the next level is where, you know, the free agency ended up getting discussed. And, you know, I'm out in Houston right now, and I'm curious to obviously see what Draymond has to say and shoot around here in a little bit. But I think it was definitely new territory and worse than something they'd been through before.
I was reading your colleague over at The Athletic, Marcus Thompson, what he wrote about Draymond Green bringing up the free agency and saying you were gone after this season anyway. Was that the case, or did you get the feel that Kevin Durant was leaving Golden State after this season, regardless of what happened?
I mean, that's what a lot of people feel within the organization. Now, they don't know, it's funny because free agency in general teaches us over and over and over again that, you know, it's very unpredictable. So I'm not ready to say there's no way that he's coming back. It does feel that way right now. I know that, you know, his focus, I think, you know, as he talks to the media in the coming days, the opportunity to be part of a three-peat is going to be where he puts his mind right now. And that matters a lot to him now. You know, does he care about a four-peat? Does he want to keep going? We shall see. It doesn't help when, you know, his brother comments on Instagram a couple weeks ago where he says, you know, that's why we're out here or something like that. I mean, there have definitely been signs where it seemed like their little secret was getting out. And I think for the Warriors, and certainly Draymond more than anybody, the nagging thing that has become an issue is just the idea that, you know, I think they want to feel like he's all in. And, you know, they go to New York on a road trip everybody's talking about Kevin's free agency, and they go to the next city and everybody's talking about it. So, you know, Steph signed a 5-year deal. Other guys have signed long-term deals. Klay Thompson's up this summer. He's made it clear that he wants to come back. And, you know, Kevin is the one who people don't know about. So I think certainly that surfaced.
Sam, based off of your interactions that you had and your relationship that you've had with Kevin Durant for quite some time here, what would you guess is his biggest motivation potentially going into free agency here? Now that he's gotten his rings here in Golden State, regardless of if they win another one here this season or not, do you think he is still motivated by winning and by championships? Is it money? Is it location? What would you have to guess, or do you have even any idea?
I mean, I don't have a good sense. You know, I know that, you know, I can say this much. I 100% do not expect him to go back to Oklahoma City. You know, that chapter left him feeling pretty hurt about kind of the way that he was treated after leaving there. The motivation, I think he certainly wants to be perceived as, you know, one of, if not the best player in the game. And I think the challenge of playing with the Warriors is just the fact that there's so much talent that it's hard to stand out like that all the time. I mean, it's, you know, two finals MVPs is no small thing. So Kevin has found a way to stand out. But, you know, I think basketball-wise, what struck me about that moment at the end of regulation against the Clippers that, you know, sparked this whole thing is that because Steph wasn't on the floor, you know, and if you're reading Kevin's mind in that moment, I mean, you got to assume he's sitting there going, all right, listen, most nights I have to yield to Steph and I got to share and I got to, you know, the spotlight is not all mine. And this dynamic is tricky because they have that embarrassment of riches talent wise. Well, Steph's not on the floor. You know, he's clapping his hands and giving the ball and Draymond doesn't give him the ball. And, you know, and I think it was revealing in terms of things that frustrate him about the Warriors makeup. So, but, you know, the grass isn't always greener, obviously. So, sure, go to New York. Well, that team's terrible. So who else is going to come with you? Or, you know, go to the Clippers. Pretty good situation, but the fans are just not very passionate. And, you know, you're never going to be the Lakers. You know, go to the Lakers. Well, you're going to be in LeBron's shadow. So I'm not sure yet which situation is a better fit for him than this one.
Sam Amick of The Athletic joining us. Sam, how about how the team handled the whole situation with the one-game suspension without pay of Draymond Green? Did that smell to you or feel to you like it was the organization just handling their business and trying to just make sure things like this didn't happen again and holding people accountable? Or did it feel like more of a choosing Durant over Draymond, siding with KD over Draymond type situation?
I mean, it felt like a combination of, you know, they can couch it by saying it's them finally putting their foot down with Draymond, you know, setting ground rules and saying you can't treat your teammates this way. And so, you know, I do think that's part of it. But, you know, I think 100% it is the reality that, you know, I mean, we would all love to know exactly what was said behind closed doors. And it wouldn't shock me if somebody from Kevin's side, or who knows, Kevin himself, had told them, like, you know, if you want any chance at all of me coming back. And I doubt, you know, I couldn't see Kevin saying it. I you know, his agent possibly, you know, saying if you want any prayer at all of him coming back, you know, he's got to know that you have his back and you got to do something here. And, you know, I debated that with one of the Warriors people about the idea that this was all driven by the fear that Kevin was going to leave. And, you know, they said, well, so you're trying to say that if Draymond did this to Steph or to Clay, that there wouldn't have been discipline? And it's like, all right, fine. Like, maybe there would have been, but I definitely think, you know, Kevin and free agency was a major factor.
I want to shift gears as we talk to Sam Amick of The Athletic. And Sam, you really helped facilitate the Jimmy Butler deal by extension, I think. And I've talked to Dave about this, who's out today. But we really think that you helped kind of push that deal through with your interview with Jimmy Butler and him, you know, calling out Tom Thibodeau for playing him 41 minutes and saying this has got to stop. But Butler made his debut with the 76ers last night. They lost. The bigger deal, though, for me is the Timberwolves and how they played. They beat the Pelicans by 7 at home. Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins both had big games. Do you think Jimmy Butler's exit from Minnesota is actually going to ultimately be good for that team?
We shall see. I mean, that interview with Jimmy was certainly memorable. I admittedly did kind of poke around on the question of whether or not our conversation played a part, and the timeline just doesn't add up. I think those wheels were in motion. But, you know, it certainly did capture the spirit of where the two sides were at, and it was ugly and they had to do something. So they did something. And, you know, Minnesota looked good last night. Carl Anthony Towns in particular played with kind of the kind of ferocity that I think Jimmy was hoping for on a lot of nights and wasn't there. And that was one of the things that frustrated him. So I don't know how they're going to look. I do like the idea. You know, I think Sarge and Covington are going to strengthen what they have. And if Towns and Wiggins can take the next step, I mean, it's strength in numbers. It's funny because we talked a lot of Warriors. So strength in numbers is the longtime Warriors motto. Right. I mean, the Wolves could have some of that with Sarge and Covington. You have more depth. And, you know, they basically were averaging 22 and 11 combined in their minutes with Philadelphia this year. And Sarge was not playing all that well. But they're good players. So I think Minnesota could be good and get back to being a fringe playoff team right now, you know, this season. And then the Philly side is certainly interesting too. I mean, the Orlando game, you know, it's tough to lose to Orlando. That's a bad team, but it's early. And Tim Legler had a pretty good, a pretty good segment on ESPN breaking down like where you can see that these guys just haven't played together. There was one sequence where Jimmy was in the corner and Joel Embiid was kind of looking his way and clearly wanted Jimmy to cut up to the top of the perimeter and, you know, and handle the play a certain way. And Jimmy was confused and he went the wrong way and he fell down. And that's what's going to happen when you haven't played together. So it's hard to judge how that's going to be early on. But in terms of talent and like big threes in the East, I mean, it's as good as anybody.
Two-part question here. Do you foresee Jimmy Butler sticking around in Philadelphia beyond this season? And then how do you see his personality kind of meshing with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, two guys that kind of already have established themselves as the faces of that franchise?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll stay if they you know, give him the contract he wants. You know, by getting traded, they've got the chance to give him the five-year deal with the extra $40 million, you know, and go for the full max. But he's 29 and he's had injury stuff, so I don't know if they're prepared to do that. I mean, if they do that, he's not going anywhere. And, you know, this was something that he was pushing for internally, was to get to Philadelphia. This was a destination that he was definitely happy about going to. So, you know, if they pay him, then he'll stick around. The Simmons Embiid thing, I think it'll work personality-wise. Those guys are not shrinking violets, Ben and Joel, in the way that Carl and Andrew seem to be, to be honest. I think they are much more closely aligned personality-wise with Jimmy, you know, than the other two guys in Minnesota. So I think they'll probably butt heads on a fairly consistent basis, but Brett Brown's the one who's going to have his hands full, you know, and obviously there's other moving pieces here. You got J.J. Redick still playing at such a high level, and you don't want to lose him. You know, he's got to be a big part of what they do. You get the Markelle Fultz dynamic where, you know, this certainly changes the landscape and the optics for him. So pretty fascinating team.
Sam, I want to talk to you about a conversation that we seem to have time and time again, but we are now, it feels like we're on a one-way track to having this conversation even more aggressively this season. 11 teams in the Western Conference currently. Now, I know it's early on in the season, but 11 teams in the Western Conference at 500 or better. Meanwhile, the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference, the Orlando Magic, is a game under 500. Are we on a one-way ticket to even more heated playoff reform conversation, and where do you lean on that debate?
Probably not at the moment because, I mean, the East has gotten stronger at the top. And, you know, I mean, I certainly have had times when I was banging the drum the top 16 was the way to go. And then the league simply, they're not going to do it because they will immediately counter with, you know, they'll give you all the numbers on the travel differences and what it would do potentially, and all the, you know, Portland, Miami being a possible first round matchup, things of that nature.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's, and so their problem is, and their argument is that you can't, the regular season schedule is, you know, it has to reflect the top 16 format if you're going to go that direction. So, you know, they then would want to overhaul the, you know, the 82-game schedule, and the idea that, because, you know, right now, obviously, teams in the West are going to play teams in the West more often, vice versa.
Sure.
In the East. So, I don't think we're going down that road. I mean, Adam Silver is certainly one of those guys, one of those commissioners that always looks at everything. But, you know, right now, I don't think there's a lot of momentum there.
Couple teams in the Western Conference, Sam, that have been pleasantly surprising this year. The Kings among them, but I want to ask you actually about the Memphis Grizzlies, who are 8-5. The Grizzlies are one of the teams the Kings actually beat this season, but they just came off of a great win on the road against the Milwaukee Bucks, and we know what the Bucks did to the Kings earlier this year. Memphis, 8-5. Jaren Jackson Jr., part of their new young core. They still have Marc Gasol there, and he seems to just not age. He just plays so well time and time again, is so consistent at that spot. How big are you of a believer in what Memphis is doing, and what specifically about them has led to this good start, in your opinion?
I don't think it's that complicated, other than, you know, Matt, you kind of, you hit on the core. I mean, Mike and Mark, when healthy, are, you know, history tells us, always good enough to get them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Jaren Jackson coming in as a good young guy who's doing good things, you know, I mean, that's it. He's one of those rookies that's kind of plug and play, and that's not easy to come by, and they have one. And J.V. Bickerstaff is having some success. You're happy for him because it's, you know, it kind of seemed like he was just a spot filler in that coaching role last season, and it was brutal. But, I mean, Mike's a borderline all-star point guard. You know, the thing, I guess, that surprises me is that, I don't know Gasol's numbers, but I know he's been playing pretty well. I mean, Mark had looked for a minute like his decline was pretty imminent,
yeah,
in a pretty drastic way. You know, but if that's not the case and he's still got some time kind of left on his clock, then this is who they are. I mean, they don't scare anybody in the top four, but they're going to win a lot of games.
One last thing here, Sam, before we wrap up with Sam Amick of The Athletic. Check him out at theathletic.com. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't already. Some of the best sports journalism you're going to get. There's been a lot of talk in this area about the Kings and if they can stick at or just above 500, the idea of them making a deal for possibly a small forward, somebody, a kind of elite type of, maybe not elite, but a good 3-and-D type of player. Is that a move you foresee them making? And if so, are there any names that you're hearing that might come available in the trade market?
Maybe I'll do my homework this week and maybe we can circle back on it next week. I don't have any names that come to mind right now. It's pretty early in the trade process.
Sure.
And, you know, I mean, you know, we do have a pretty good sample size of teams either playing well or not playing well. So I guarantee you internally there are executives who already have their personal list of like, all right, I'm going to put this guy, you know, make this guy available, and this guy's definitely not available. So, you know, I don't know what the market might look like for that kind of a 3-and-D guy, but, you know, it is pretty wild and I think pretty neat for the fans that even, you know, it's a success story in Sacramento that we've gotten to mid-November and this is the kind of conversation that's taking place, you know, instead of
certainly a nice change.
Yeah, I mean, that's just not what we thought it was going to be. And, I mean, I was talking to the guys in the afternoon show yesterday with, you know, Lo and Damian and Jason, and talking about, you know, is De'Aaron Fox going to be on the All-Star team? And it's like, what world are we living in right now?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is, so that part's cool. You know, Vlade Divac and Brandon Williams and Ken Catanella are going to be banging the phones in that front office. And, you know, I think it's a positive that those guys have – worked together for a decent amount of time now and been through a couple of these trade deadlines. And so in terms of their own synergy and kind of functionality, you have to assume they've improved in that regard, and they got to turn over every rock and try to get this thing to the next level. Cause you have one of the better young cores in the game, but you know, it's going to take some more roster construction to kind of make this team actually relevant in the West.
Well, that's Sam Amick of The Athletic. Check him out at theathletic.com. Sam, thanks so much for taking some time out of your Thursday morning to chat with us, and we will talk to you next week, all right?
All right, guys. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Sam. That's Sam Amick. Always good to talk to Sam. It's one of those things. Dave talks about this all the time, But Sam is among the most plugged-in national NBA writers there is. And to get him on the show is always very cool, and we have him every Thursday on the drive at 8 o'clock. Sam is brought to you by, as are all of our guests, and your calls on 339-1140 and 1-800-920-1140. All guests brought to you by the Fire Wings Hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Firewings.com to find the location nearest you. Fire Wings, just wing it. When we get back, I want to talk about Zion Williamson. I don't talk a ton of college basketball because I don't follow college basketball that closely. But Zion Williamson is impossible to ignore. And it's one of the rare times where you see somebody on House of Highlights consistently, and then you continue hearing about them. I was really worried that we were going to see all these awesome dunks from Zion, and then he was going to go sit on the end of Duke's bench. And he has not been doing that. He's turned his career at Duke into a House of Highlights film, effectively. And I want to discuss that because it's the first time, maybe ever, that I've been interested personally, been invested in college basketball outside of March. I've watched more college basketball in these first few weeks than I have maybe ever outside of the month of March. And I want to get into the idea of comparisons because the thing that's being tossed around now with Zion, he's shooting 89% or whatever he is from the floor, and he's an insane athlete, and it came out via ESPN that an LSU assistant coach offered Zion Williamson a football scholarship. He's 6'6 or whatever he is, 285. He flies. He's fast. He's quick. He can jump. And the LeBron comparisons are starting to come out. And I want to get into that a little bit because I'm not really sure it's fair to do that. And I know it's kind of in our nature as sports fans and as shout out Carmichael Dave, Dumb Sports Donkeys, to just try and find comparisons and find one-to-one direct connections between two guys. But I want to discuss this with Zion a little bit because I feel like some of it's warranted, but I think there needs to be more nuance and context than just saying he's the next LeBron James. Because throwing out all willy-nilly that a guy is going to be one of the top, whatever your scale, one of the top 1, 3, or 5 players of all time, I'm not really sure that's fair. But I'm also not sure it's inaccurate. So we'll get into that. And then after that, we got what's on tap. And then we're getting the heck out of here. And we'll go through the Do One Thing Challenge once again before we go. We've also got Fleetwood Mac tickets to give away. Fleetwood Mac is coming to the Golden One Center on November 23rd. Get more info at khtk.com. All KHTK giveaways are powered by Roseville. Automall.com. Zion Williamson, is he the next LeBron James? That's coming up next on The Drive. It's Sports 1140 KHTK.
Here we go. The Drive continues now. Wow.
Kyle Madsen and Matt George filling in for Carmichael Dave on The Drive. Carmichael Dave out sick today. He's a little bit under the weather after heading up to Chico yesterday to drop off supplies that our wonderful listeners left in the back of his truck. We certainly appreciate everybody who donated yesterday and anybody who's taken part in the Do One Thing Challenge. KHTK is taking part. Our doors are open now. We're open 8:30. To 5:30 today, you can drop off gift cards, brand new clothing, hygiene supplies, toys, etc. Here at the KHTK studios at 280 Commerce Circle. And then Carmichael Dave and others will get those up to Chico to make sure they get distributed to people in need. Kevin checking in from Chico said that Walmart gift cards are good. There's also a Target, a Big Lots, a Subway, an Old Navy, a Chipotle, a Round Table, and a Starbucks, all right across the street from the Walmart there. So If you can donate even a little bit, even a small thing, every little bit helps if everybody does one thing. So we appreciate any donations you make. Again, 280 Commerce Circle here at the KHDK Studios. And we'll get those supplies delivered to people who need them.
When you show up, too, be sure to aggressively knock on our front door and our windows. Our bosses and the receptionist love it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, like, they
make sure it's a jingle,
send
too.
They send out an email. They want the, like, dun 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 dun. That's what they want.
That actually hurt.
On the window. We're also giving away Fleetwood Mac tickets. You want to do this now, Matt?
No, final segment. Yes, but no.
Well, we decide. This is a really fun giveaway. Fleetwood Mac. They're Golden One Center on November 23rd. You can get more info at KHDK.com. All KHDK giveaways are powered by RooseveltAutoMall.com. We'll get into this next segment. We'll do that next segment.
See, I don't want to give them away because I want them. I want to go.
That's fair.
Let me go.
You can't do that because it's against the rules.
Says who?
The fine print.
Says who?
The fine print.
White out.
Fine print says it.
If I white it out, it's not
there. It
says it
in the damn fine print.
Nope.
Zion Williamson.
I can't read.
Is making college basketball interesting, at least for me. I'm sure there are people listening who love college basketball, who watch game in and game out. They have a favorite team. They have favorite players. But what? You're making a face.
A lot of people are calling for those tickets right now.
Oh.
Should we give them out now? Fine. Guess
okay,
I
fine.
Can't
we're
have
doing
them.
It. No, we're doing it. We're fine. Giving them away right now. Okay, hang on. Let's do this again.
Schmack
Fleetwood
George.
Mac tickets, November 23rd, Golden One Center. More info, KHDK.com. All KHDK giveaways, of course, powered by Roosevelt Automall.com. Let's go fifth caller right now. Get some Fleetwood Mac tickets. And everyone just hung up. Oh, you guys are perfect. I love everybody who's listening and calling in today.
I just stood up.
They'll light back up here. There you go. Zion Williamson is making college basketball interesting again. I was mentioning that I'm not a big college basketball guy. I'm not afraid to admit that. I love watching the NBA. And college basketball in March, I'm all the way in. I am the guy who will find a spot with multiple TVs to make sure I am consuming as much March Madness as possible. When I was in college and I had class, I would pay the couple of bucks for the site that allowed you to have all the games on, and I'd have my computer up in class watching games. And Zion Williamson at Duke this season is making college basketball interesting for me by himself. I understand Duke has a phenomenal draft class, not draft class, but freshman class. We talked to Jay Billis, a Duke alum who and college basketball analyst for ESPN, and we talked to him, and he said that Zion is not even the best freshman on their team, which is incredible. But Zion Williamson is an athletic marvel, and if you haven't seen him, just Google Zion Williamson highlights and watch some of the stuff he did in high school, or you can watch some of the stuff he's doing in college because it's translating at Duke. And they haven't necessarily played any, they haven't played a ton of top-level competition. They did play Kentucky and killed Kentucky by like 32 points. Kentucky was ranked number 2 in the country at the time. Duke was number 4. Duke is now number 1. Zion Williamson. He's 6'7", 285. He has a 6'10" wingspan. ESPN reported that an LSU football coach offered him a scholarship. He's that athletic. He jumps out of the gym. And he puts up highlight reel dunks like you've never seen. He caught this lob last night where Zach Harper, a friend of the show, at Talk Hoops on Twitter, put a screenshot of Zion as he caught the dunk. He's like looking down into the basket. He is so high above the rim. And he does this regularly. And he just throws dunks down with a ferocity that looks like he's trying to spike the ball through the floor. And naturally, we can't just have nice things and enjoy this really cool college basketball player before he goes number 1 or number 2 in the draft, wherever he goes. But ESPN and other outlets, I'm not going to blame solely ESPN. I've seen plenty of independent people on Twitter and people at other outlets,
sure,
tweeting this. Zion Williamson the next LeBron James? Is this what LeBron would have looked like in college?
Hi, good thing. Let me ruin you.
Yeah. And I guess I understand the want to compare to that because we've seen so many LeBron high school highlights that look a lot like what Zion's doing at Duke, where he's jumping from improbable spots on the court for dunks and just looks bigger and more athletic than everybody. And I get it. That's fair. But let's relax. Let's pump the brakes. Let's let the guy get into the NBA first. And maybe he, through this entire season, maybe he does wind up shooting, he's 32 of 39 from the field right now. Jalen Rose has called Zion Williamson something the game has never seen. Bill Simmons said that he talked to Grant Hill, who said that he's never seen anything like Zion Williamson before. Zion is shooting a cool 82.1% from the field this season.
Through how many games?
Three. Hmm. So small sample size for sure. He's only one of three from beyond the arc.
He's a bad shooter, Kyle.
He's shooting 61% from the line, but he's averaging 11 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 blocks. Like, this guy is like...
He's
a very good player.
Yep.
But I just want to pump the brakes on the LeBron thing. Because let's say Zion Williamson is... let's say he's the next evolution of Draymond Green. He is just an elite defender who doesn't shoot a ton, but he can, you know, facilitate an offense from the top of the key and throw down some dunks and do some stuff. Let's say that's what he is. That would still be a great, phenomenal, all-star type player. I just don't want to build up this LeBron James comparison and have it become where Zion Williamson is not the second or first best player of all time. The second best or best player of all time, and have it feel like he underachieved or there's a letdown.
So I have an idea.
I want to enjoy a nice thing.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Why don't we just let Zion Williams be Zion Williams and enjoy? Or sorry, did I say Williams? Yeah. Zion Williamson. Why don't we just let him be himself? I'm already trying to change his name. I'm trying to make him a Williams like Jay will. No. Why can't we just let him be himself?
Right.
Like, just let him be and what he said. Like, remember, I'm surprised what you said that he's making college basketball fun again because he is.
Well,
I'm
making it fun for me.
Right.
It's fun for plenty of people.
I'm like you. I don't really watch college basketball until we get to March.
Yeah.
But Trae Young was doing, not as athletic as Zion is, but Trae Young was doing what Zion's doing in a different way at the beginning of last season.
Sure.
And he was putting up 40-point games. He was shooting from anywhere on the floor, and it was going in. And we're talking about, oh, my God, is this the next Steph Curry, the next greatest shooter of all time? He's going to be amazing, right. Top number one overall pick. And then he fell off, and then he hit the tournament, and he did nothing. And then he ended up being taken, what was it, fourth or fifth, and then traded to third, whatever. And he's in Atlanta, and he's a good player.
Yeah,
but
good player.
My point is,
not the next Steph Curry.
This is not anything we haven't seen before. Zion is a different type of player, and he's a beast of an athlete and extremely entertaining and fun to watch, but he's also 19 years old. He's also playing against fellow 19, 20, 21-year-olds.
He's 18.
He's 18. See, not even 19 yet.
Right.
I mean,
he'll be 18 for the draft.
Wow.
Like, that's... July is his birthday.
And that's insane. So, and he's going to come into the league, or everybody's going to get excited about him. He's going to go through a college season. There's going to be ups and downs. He's not going to be able to sustain 80% shooting from the field. Sorry, it's not going to be done.
But what if he does?
Then, holy crap. And then I'll be ready to change my story a little bit if we come to the draft and he shoots 89% or 80% for the majority of the season. But this is all stuff we've seen before. This is all we've seen types of players come into the college scene, start out red hot, and everybody is thinking, oh my God, Jesus is now a basketball player. And it's just, again, slow down, enjoy it. Don't discredit it. I'm not trying to discredit anything he's doing.
Right.
Enjoy it, but make sure you don't compare him or associate him with the greatest basketball player of all time who's still playing in his prime. Like,
right.
There's a pretty specific distinction between those two players, and make sure you recognize that distinction is there. And
yeah,
enjoy
I would just hate this really fun thing to turn into just a teardown session because people Go, well, he's not the next LeBron. Okay, fine. But he's still excellent. And that's all I want. That's all I want. I just want to be able to talk about Zion and retweet his highlights.
Yes.
And not be inundated with people. And I'm not yet, but I know how the cycle works. We would get there.
And you think we are overreacting, or people are overreacting watching, or even ESPN is overreacting? Imagine how teams feel. We are going to get to a point, if Zion keeps up half of this production, we are going to get to a point in the final month to 2 months of the season where all of the teams at the bottom are doing is fighting each other to be the worst, to get the pick, to take him. And it's going to be amazing to watch.
Fascinating wrinkle is the new rule about the lottery.
Right.
With each of the bottom three teams have the same percentage chance to get the one pick.
But I guess there might be 5 to 6 teams that are trying to put themselves in that bottom three because they're like, look what Zion's doing. Look how bad we are. I don't care. Sell everybody.
And the incredible thing, like I said, is Jay Billis said that Zion's not even the best freshman on the team. That's bananas. What's on tap when we come back? And we'll one more time run down how you can help provide relief for victims of the campfire with the Do One Thing Challenge. This is The Drive. Kyle Madsen and Matt George filling in for Carmichael Dave on Sports 1140 KHTK.
It's the end of the show, but it's the start of your workday. Pour a cold one. It's What's on Tap. Here's What's on Tap.
What's on Tap? We've got Seahawks Packers tonight in Seattle.
Wow, no sponsor?
Oh, yeah, no. I skipped it today.
I had one ready.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah,
What's on Tap? Brought to you by...
Oh, is that my cue?
Yeah.
Oh, do it again.
What's on Tap is brought to you by...
Ticklish Gophers.
Ticklish Gophers, of
Sell
course.
It.
Because what's cuter than a gopher? A ticklish gopher.
Gophers
are cute.
Because
if they come out of their little gopher den... And you tickle them, they'll start laughing, because what you don't know is gophers have an adorable laugh.
Hot take. Gopher's the worst character in Winnie the Pooh.
Wow.
Hot take. I get over the whistling.
Wow. Gopher shade.
Gopher.
It's Packers Seahawks tonight. You can listen to that right here on Sports 1140. Kickoff slated for 5:20. Our coverage begins at 5 o'clock. In what is effectively an NFC elimination game, the Packers 4-4-1, the Seahawks sitting at 4-5. So it should be a fun game. A couple of teams that are both somewhat scary, but both have their flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Got an update from Dave. So tomorrow, and Bobby Solorio, our wonderful promotions director, sent me a photo of all the donations we've gotten so far, and it is incredible. Our doors have been open for 19 minutes. There's already a ton of donations coming in. They're in need of winter clothes. Those gift cards I mentioned earlier, Target, Big Lots, Walmart. There's a Starbucks across the street from the Walmart with a Chipotle. There's also a Round Table over there, an Old Navy. So gift cards are great because they're easy to transport. And then hygiene supplies as well. You know, baby wipes, just wet wipes in general, deodorants, hand sanitizers, things like that are also very much appreciated. And again, 280 Commerce Circle. And then Dave said 10 a.m. tomorrow, he's going to be caravanning back up to Chico with supplies. Great if you can drive up, if you can spare the day to go up. If not, that's totally fine. We'll be taking supplies until 5 today. We'll also take them between 6 and 10 tomorrow because Dave and I will be here. We will find a way to run down and collect those supplies if you want to bring them tomorrow. Dave specifically said new socks, new gloves, men's and women's underwear, obviously new, please, gift cards, tents and sleeping bags. This is via Dave's Facebook. He also said he needs someone on the ground up there who can direct people elsewhere if there's help needed. So anybody listening in that area who knows where people may need help, go ahead and let Dave know at Carmichael Dave on Twitter. Send us a text at 44 1140, so he can narrow the list down to true immediate essentials. So yeah, do one thing. If all of us can do one even small thing, we can go a long ways towards helping out those victims of the campfire up in Butte County, here north of Sacramento. And we certainly appreciate any help you guys can get, any help you guys can give. I want to point out one thing that I meant to bring up with the Zion Williamson discussion we had that I didn't point out, that the tremendous Damian Barling did point out, is Zion Williamson dunks a lot, which explains his massive field goal percentage. He's 1 of 3 from three, struggles shooting from the free throw line. So there's holes in his game for sure. But I'm not here for all that. I just want to watch him dunk. That's all. I want.
He's almost a for sure, barring injury, he's almost a for sure golden ticket entry into the NBA dunk contest next year. I mean, it's pretty.
Dude, put him in this year. I don't care.
That would be pretty rad. But find a way to spice it up a little bit. Like the last couple of years, I haven't cared about the dunk contest, which sucks because they set the bar so high. Like that's the best thing Dwight Howard did with his career, is put on a couple of good shows with Nate Robinson in the dunk contest.
Yeah.
Other than that, his career's been useless. But I mean, at least the dunk contest was good. But since then, bring in Zion now. Have a kid out dunk the best in the NBA.
I'm in, dude. Especially since Zion would probably be in the NBA if it wasn't for the rules against it.
Probably. He'd probably be doing terrible, but at least he can dunk.
I'm very much looking forward to this week in the NFL. Week 11 is such a fun week because I feel like this is the time where the separation happens. And maybe the NFL is just full of parity this year, and we're going to get battles for all six playoff spots all the way down to the wire. But week 11 is really the time I feel like we start seeing a separation. Plus, we got Kings tomorrow as well. They start a crucial road trip to finish out November. We've talked about this a ton over the last couple of weeks, but this is really a huge stretch of games for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're at Memphis, they're at Houston, home Oklahoma City, at Utah, at Golden State, home Utah, home Clippers. And I'm sure we'll discuss this with Dave when he's back tomorrow. We'll discuss this even more, but this is the early season stretch. They've gotten through the first portion of their schedule, 8-6, great. Way better than I thought they were going to do through their first 14.
One piece at a time.
Yeah, and now this seven-game stretch is pretty brutal. You got Memphis, who just won last night. They beat the Bucks. You have Houston on the road. Houston seems to be figuring it out. Oklahoma City, they're 9-1 in their last 10.
Mm-hmm.
Utah got blown out by 50 last night, but you're convinced that is a very good playoff team.
Yes.
And you've got to go to Utah and then go to Golden State, and then the next night you're at home against Utah. I mean, that is just a tough stretch.
Again,
man.
It's just taking it a piece at a time as much as you can. And once again, it's another back-to-back for the Kings, already their fourth back-to-back this season that they'll be playing on Friday and Saturday, which is tough, but they're a young team, and they can work their way through it, and they're aware of that. They've known about it for a while, so it's not really much of an excuse at this point. Again, just taking it one bit at a time and setting realistic goals and expectations. You have this two-game trip, Houston and Memphis, both not easy games. Find a way to win one. Then you come home for Oklahoma City, and you have a four-game stretch of two at home, two on the road. Like you said, OKC, two times with the Jazz, and once with the Warriors. Be great if you could find a way to win two out of that, but even if you just find one out of that through this entire 10-game stretch, you come out of it, and you're at .500. That's really good. And that's what this team can do, realistically. I mean, honestly, I think they should be OKC at home. They really should, with Russell Westbrook out. And they should pick up one of these games on the road. I like the Houston matchup for a potential win.
Couple things here before we go. This note from the 916, Zion was born 5 months after the Vince Carter dunk contest. That's bananas. The 209 says, keep throwing shade at the Gopher from Winnie the Pooh. You guys are all ridiculous.
Absolutely.
I will not stand for Gopher shade.
Team Owl.
An important from the 530, just letting you guys know that a lot of people from Paradise are also staying in the Walmart parking lot in Oroville. So I'll pass that information along to Carmichael Dave to make sure they get somebody out there dropping off supplies to those who need them. Keep dropping off your supplies at 280 Commerce Circle at the KHTK Studios. We're accepting supplies all day today until 5:30, and then from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. tomorrow, Dave and I will be here doing the show, obviously, but also collecting supplies if you want to drop them off. And Dave is going to caravan up with whoever can spare the day to throw some supplies in their car and drive them up with Dave to drop them off to make sure they're being delivered firsthand to people who need them. It's the Do One Thing Challenge, and we certainly appreciate everybody who participates in that. So for Sam Amick of The Athletic, for Eunice running the video cast, which you can find at khgk.com each and every day, for Matt George jumping in late notice, wearing multiple hats during the show today, man, I really appreciate all your help. And for Carmichael Dave and everything he's doing up there in Chico, and we certainly hope he feels better later on today and is back healthy tomorrow. For all those people and for myself, Kyle Madsen, I'm out of here.